today in our first reading from the book of Acts, today we meet a nameless slave girl. We meet a nameless young woman. We're never actually told her name. But the book of Acts says that this young woman is possessed by a demon. And this demon instills her with a spirit of divination, namely a capacity perhaps to predict the future. And as a result, this nameless slave girl regularly makes a lot of money for her owners. She makes a lot of money for them through fortune telling. And as the story goes this morning, this woman begins to shout out to Paul and Silas. She follows them around as they travel, and she shouts at them for days on end. "These men are slaves of the Most High," she says. "The Most High God who proclaimed you a way of salvation," she says. She shouts at them day after day after day. And interestingly enough, what she shouts at Paul and Silas isn't offensive. It's not incorrect. It's not like she's following them around and shouting, "These men are followers of Satan. They follow the devil." She's not saying that. She's shouting the truth. Paul refers to himself at multiple times in the New Testament as a slave for Christ. And Paul and Silas were certainly all about proclaiming the way of salvation. So when she shouts at them, these men are slaves of the Most High God who proclaim to you a way of salvation, she's shouting the gospel. She's shouting the truth. But we are told in this morning's reading from Acts, she is annoying. Paul is so annoyed at this woman that Scripture tells us he finally turns to the woman and says to her, and says to the spirit that possesses her, "I order you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her." And the evil spirit that had afflicted her leaves her. And just like that, we hear nothing more from this woman. She's gone from the story. We hear that her owners were ticked off. They were ticked off that they didn't have their resident fortune teller. They were ticked off that by freeing this woman from the evil spirit, Paul had gotten rid of their wonderful cash grab. They're so ticked off at Paul and Silas that they have them dragged before the magistrates and charged with disturbing the peace, and they have them stripped and beaten and flogged. But we hear nothing more from this young woman herself. She's gone from the story. She shouts the gospel, shouts it so much that finally she's annoying. Paul finally turns to her when he's annoyed, and then she's gone from the story. I wonder what happened to her. I wonder what her name was. This woman, this brave young woman, is like John the Baptist or the prophets of old. She has the courage this day to proclaim the way of the Lord, to shout from the hilltops the gospel, to shout to Christ's servants, Paul and Silas, "You are slaves of the Most High God who proclaim a way of salvation. You are the bearers of light and truth," she shouts at them. What happened to her? Now, clearly we know this young woman was set free from some form of spiritual oppression. She was set free from a demon, an illness, something that possessed her. I wonder, was she freed from her physical bondage too? Was she released from slavery? Was she set free to do the work of the gospel she was proclaiming, as so many of the disciples were at their first encounter with the apostles, set free to proclaim the word of truth? Would we even be talking about her today if she hadn't had the courage to speak up? Would we even be talking about her if she hadn't had the courage to be so annoying? Why is it in this world that when women in particular speak up, speak the truth, they are often labeled as annoying? What if Paul and Silas, two grown Jewish men who typically would not have spoken to an unknown woman, what if they'd actually stopped the the first day she shouted at them? Or how about the second day she shouted the gospel of truth at them? Or how about the third day? What if they'd stopped then? What if they'd stopped and spoken with her and heard the gospel of truth that she was proclaiming, heard the cry for salvation and healing that she was inviting them to extend on behalf of her Lord Jesus Christ? If they had stopped and talked to her, would she have been labeled as annoying then? Why is it that women in this world too often have to say the same thing 10 times, 20 times, 30 times over before the rest of us, before we men and the rest of us hear them? Why is it that the young woman in this morning's reading from Acts is the one who is labeled as annoying? How about the two disciples who choose not to hear her for days on end, who have the power to help her and to heal her, but who choose to ignore her? Aren't they the more annoying part of this equation? They have the capacity to help her and to heal her, and they ignore her. What's more annoying? Tomorrow as a country, this week as a country, we're going to be grappling with these kinds of questions. Because tomorrow we are going to be receiving as a country the report of the National Inquiry into murdered and missing Indigenous women and girls right across Canada. And in the report, we're told the commissioners are going to argue that a genocide has occurred. A genocide has occurred against Indigenous women and girls in this country in recent decades due to, quote, state actions and inactions rooted in colonialism and in colonial ideologies, end quote. And I suspect that some of us in Canada are going to find the use of that word, the use of the word genocide, extremely annoying. Genocide, we're going to hear some pundits say in the coming days, well, that's too strong a term, they will argue. That's something that happens in other countries, but other places, not here in Canada. That's just not something that we do. I wonder if we would be having the same kinds of conversation about how annoying the term genocide is if 4,000 white men had been murdered or gone missing systematically in this country over the last 40 years. I wonder if the use of words like genocide would prove to be so annoying if 4,000 people who looked like me were murdered or had systematically gone missing in this country over the last 40 years. I wonder if that language would be too strong then. I wonder whether we would have allowed such a tragedy to happen in the first place. We don't know the end of the young girl's story that we hear this morning in the book of Acts. She disappears from the page. We don't know where her journey in life ultimately took her. But we do know, as brothers and sisters in Christ, as siblings in Christ, that that young nameless woman's salvation and our salvation are completely woven together. Her liberation and our liberation are completely woven together. As Jesus prays for us this day in the Gospel of John, as you, Father, are in me, I am in you. May they also be in us, so that they may be one as we are one. No person in this world is too insignificant. No voice is too small. No one is nameless in the eyes of God. May they all be one, Father, Jesus prays for us this day, as you and I are one. May God grant us the grace in the coming days to listen to one another, to listen in particular to our sisters who are crying out a gospel of truth. May God grant us the grace to hear each other and to liberate each other. May God continue to grant us the grace and the courage to speak up, the courage to speak up and to sometimes be labeled as annoying. The courage to speak deep truth to power over and over and over again until justice is finally done. May we be reminded this day of the words of the prophet Isaiah, the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, when he says that the Spirit of the Lord is upon us because God has anointed us. And God now sends us to bring good news to the poor and proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind. God now sends us to listen, to let the oppressed go free. Amen.